The euro hasn't been this weak in almost a decade.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in Washington, I'm David Gura, in for David Brancaccio. At last check, the euro is trading below $1.20, something that hasn't happened since 2006. Now, part of the story here is the relative strength of the U.S. economy, but there's certainly a lot going on in Europe, a lot that's up in the air. And joining us now to talk about that is Andrew Walker, economics correspondent for the BBC. Hi, Andrew.
Hello, David.
So what's behind this drop?
There are two things. There's a long-term trend, if you like, and by long-term I mean over a period of months, the growing expectation in financial markets that the European Central Bank is going to embark on some sort of full-scale quantitative easing program. And then over the weekend, there have been some reports coming out of Germany in the newspaper Der Spiegel suggesting that the German authorities would be prepared to countenance the idea of Greece leaving the eurozone. We have elections coming up in Greece, and it's quite possible that we will get a government that wants to roll back the austerity that Greece has been producing. Germany doesn't want them to do that. So they're already, if you like, beginning to think about what they would do if there is a difficult negotiation to be had with a new Greek government.
The ECB meeting, the European Central Bank meeting, that's scheduled to take place in a couple of weeks. What are the members of that organization going to be processing ahead of that meeting? I know that there's some inflation data that's scheduled to come out later this week.
A key point in this discussion will be the eurozone flash estimate for inflation last month. The previous month, the figure was 0.3%. Since then, oil prices have got lower. So it is certainly possible that the eurozone as a whole will go into deflation, that's to say falling prices. Mario Draghi, the head of the European Central Bank, has already indicated that it's something he wants to avoid. He wants to ensure that people don't expect prices to fall. That'll be an important point for the European Central Bank. They desperately want to ensure that Europe does not go into a period of deflation. And some of the concerns that some individual members of the ECB's policymaking committee have about quantitative easing, I think they may well get overridden.
Andrew Walker, BBC economics correspondent. Andrew, thank you so much.
My pleasure, David.
And let's do the numbers. Right now, the euro is down 0.82% against the dollar at 1.1904. And looking at the major market indices in Europe, the FT 100 is down about 0.75% at 6,494. And Germany's DAX is also down 0.45%. It's at 9,725. And looking at U.S. futures, they're all down. Construction spending in New York is almost back to what it was before the recession, but in 2015, the development landscape looks very different. It's dominated by ultra-high-end apartment buildings. In Manhattan, there's now something referred to as Billionaire's Row. Ah, what a difference a few years make. But building doesn't necessarily equal selling, as Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson explains.
There's a lot of cranes dotting the skyline of New York these days. Lots of hammering. More than $10 billion spent on residential construction this past year. But these aren't buildings for just anyone.
They're usually very tall, very large, and in the tens of millions of dollars in asking prices.
Richard Anderson is president of the New York Building Congress. He says construction here is dominated by super high-end apartment buildings. That's a big change from 5-10 years ago.
Then it was more a range of housing, more out-of-borough housing, more affordable housing. Now we are spending more money but getting less housing units.
This apartment is over 4,000 square feet. It's a half floor.
Real estate agent Jeannie Woodbury takes me up to the 58th floor of a new building in Midtown Manhattan. Central Park stretches out before us like a private runway.
This one starts at 27 up to about 29, depending on the floor.
$27 million. That gets you three bedrooms, a big open living room, and a lot more.
We have several amenities, including a pool which has Carnegie Hall music piped in underwater. All of the kitchens have small bone cabinets, which were hand custom designed in London. We have a six-burner gas with a wok, a grill, and a teppanyaki.
What is a tapenaki?
That's like a stir-fry grill.
Oh, of course, stir-fry grill.
I describe this phenomenon as we're building the world's most expensive bank safety deposit boxes.
Jonathan Miller is president of Miller Samuel Real Estate Appraisers. He says the uber wealthy, many of them foreign, are looking for a place to park their money that's not the financial markets. Many of these are all cash sales.
Essentially, the consumer buys one of these units and puts their valuables in it and then rarely visit. And that is not unique to New York. Miami is seeing this. San Francisco, Los Angeles.
High demand and high prices have encouraged developers to build lots of these super luxe buildings. Maybe too many.
The Manhattan development market has a problem. It's facing too much supply with a steady demand. So when people say the market is softening, what they're really saying is we've been building too much. The demand hasn't really changed.
It's not quite a bubble. But the pace of sales is slowing, Miller says, which means some of these planned projects might not make it off the drawing board. In New York, I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
Finally, this is a busy time for online dating. Match.com says it sees more traffic between Christmas and Valentine's Day than at any other time of the year. The busiest day, according to Match, was yesterday, and traffic peaked at 8:52 last night, Eastern Time. The website Quartz says researchers attribute this phenomenon to, and I'm quoting here, the spare time people have over the holidays and how they gravitate toward their computers and phones during that time. In Washington, I'm David Gura with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.